Welcome to the Round 20 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Dunny.
G'day, everyone.
And Faz, fresh off his break. Welcome back to the country, mate.
Hola, everybody.
Sporting a tan and a belly from tapas loving life.
That's not going away quickly, I believe.
And you top scored out of the three of us this week, so you'd be in great spirits at the moment. And your Supercoach team did pretty well. I don't know how close you were looking at it. Held on to your ranking, which is good. If not, did you even move up?
So the podcast served me well while I was away. I was able to have a quick 30-minute roundup of everything that was going on AFL. The games are not ideally suited time-wise, so I wasn't, wasn't managing to catch many games. So the ranking has stayed pretty steady across, I can't remember exactly when I went away, but I think I started about 3,500, and I'm into 2,800 now in my overall ranking. So I'm not going to be in it for the cash this year, but pretty happy to still have a pretty respectable ranking. This week, scored 23.85. Really, it was the forward line that let me down. I had all three of Robbie Gray, Michael Walters, and Buddy Franklin. They were a bit disappointing, but elsewhere, it's all looking pretty good. So I think I cut you off before there, Marcus.
No, I was just saying you're the top ranked out of the four of us at the moment. And not to discount your previous seasons, Faz, but this has got to be the first time in a few. You've had a few unlucky seasons here and there. First time in a while that round 20 you're leading all comers in the podcast.
That's right. It's a pretty nice spot to be in. You're right. I've not felt this before.
I'm glad you're ahead of Mark, so that's good.
I've still got him, do I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, thank God.
And I'm closing quickly, so catch up to Dunny and Mark can sit on the bottom of the pile. Dunny, how did you score this week, mate?
Yeah, not quite as good as Faz. So I finished with a 22.66. I rocked a few of those guys that he had down there in the forward line with Robbie Gray, Michael Walters, currently through lack of trades earlier in the season running with Bailey Fritch, who's 47, didn't help. But I also had a bit of a stain in the back line too. So as most of the listeners would know, I've had to unfortunately stick with Hibbard throughout the season, and with him out, I had his good friend Joel Smith on the field for his wonderful 16 points this week. So, not looking good. So hopefully they will pull it together next week. So would have loved to have had Paul Ahern on the field with his 124 because he would have been my third top scoring midfielder, but no, had him on the bench, unfortunately. What about yourself, Marcus?
Sandwich in the middle between you and Faz. I had some poor scores. Really, the whole weekend started off poorly with Franklin with a 52. Had him actually with the emergency and was considering where to play Tom McDonald and thought, all right, Tommy can replace Franklin and I'll see how Miocek goes with the E. Hopefully he can take Franklin's spot. And Miocek scores 49. Forward line, just an absolute torpedo of a round. Hogan 60, Walters 61, Franklin 52, Gray 65. And I wanted to pivot Ahern onto my forward bench, but I've got Tim Smith clogging up the ground without mid-forward flexibility. So I could have got myself another 70 points there, but just couldn't activate that. And then Joel Selwood scoring 52 was another point of difference that hurt me. So look, I'm not going to complain too much because it's pretty much as bad as a week can get for me. Grundy did his part at least and hit the captaincy on Gorn, so that wasn't too awful either, and only moved back 600 spots. I think I still beat Mark in terms of scoring by a few points, so I'll take that. And with four rounds to go, hopefully I can still close it. Without further ado, let's start with the first question for the week from Jeff Lane, one of our patrons. He's got three trades left and with four rounds to go. And really, you know, after trades this week, there's only three rounds to go after that. He's facing no injuries or suspensions this week. Would you start considering a luxury trade? Dunny, how many trades do you have at the moment, mate?
I've got three trades. I've been holding these three trades for a few weeks now. And I really wanted to trade Hibbert out last week, but really there was just nothing to get at his price point, so I had to stick with him. But I think, you know, what Jeff's facing there is what a lot of people are with. You know, most of us have got sort of about three trades left. If you've got no injuries and suspensions, you could look at using one. I wouldn't use any more than one this week at all. At this time, it sort of comes down to whether you're playing leagues or going for an overall. And if you're playing leagues, you're in the top four, you know, your chance to win, I'd probably hold off on that trade, but it's around about now you've got to start using them. So I wouldn't be upset if someone wanted to use one. I think it's a good idea, particularly if you look like you're going to lose your matchup and maybe drop out of finals. 100% use one then. Faz, what do you think, mate?
Well, I'm in the same boat as you, Dunny, in terms of trades remaining. I've also got three left. I think quite a relevant consideration when we're speaking about whether we luxury trade or not is the cash in bank as well.
Ah, yes.
Because I used up most of mine getting in Jake Lloyd a few weeks ago. And so I've currently got about 19,000 sitting in the kitty. And the issue there is that most of the players that I'm sort of contemplating a sideways trade or a luxury upgrade with, you know, the reason that I'm considering that is that their form has been pretty poor recently, and that has been reflected in their price as well. So just a quick glance across my team, that the guys that are sort of in the chopping line are Shane Savage, Michael Walters, Buddy, and Robbie Gray. And Robbie Gray at 422,000 is the most expensive of all of those. And so unless I can find a player that I think is really good value, only adding 19,000 on top of that, it feels like there is a risk that I would be just be doing a, call it a luxury upgrade, but it might really just be a side swap to somebody else who's got quite a bit of risk attached to them. You know, I might be surprised across the podcast. There could be some value options presented to me, but I agree in terms of only using one trade and without the ability to downgrade and upgrade, I just don't think I'll have enough cash to get anyone that decent into my team.
Yeah, I agree with that, Faz. I think that's exactly right. I've only got $25,000 at the moment, and I'm in the same boat with pretty much those same players you mentioned, and I'd love to trade one of them, but as you said, there's just not much around at that price point.
Yeah, I think with three rounds to go after this coming week, you'd want two trades in bank. So if you've got four trades and you can double trade to get, you know, a must-have or, you know, one of the top scoring options, then that seems worthwhile. Otherwise, you know, you'd only want to do one trade, as Faz mentioned, if you have three trades, in which case, how realistic is it that you're going to be able to bring in a player that's a significant enough upgrade to be worth it for only four rounds of scoring? I think there are a few players that would be worthwhile going out of your way for. Gorn, Grundy, Mitchell, even Cripps has been in pretty fantastic form. So, you know, there's not really many players you'd really do that luxury trade to. And, you know, even if you didn't have Grundy, if you had Goldstein, who's averaging 115 across the last five and not that far off that across the last eight, you know, is that really worth an upgrade? Goldstein to Grundy, if it nets you 10 points across the next four rounds, is 40 points. If you spend one trade on 40 points and then you cop an unnecessary donut later on, was that really worthwhile? So I'm a bit hesitant to recommend a luxury trade at this stage. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that you're left with more trades than you can potentially deal with, but you'd be hoping for injuries, you know, over the next few weeks that put you ahead of anyone that didn't store a trade. There's a decent chance that after you do a sideways, you actually go backwards. The sample size is that small. I actually like the next question better and the potential moves that go along with it. And this one's from Mark Schwartz from Facebook. With trades left, is it more important to try and upgrade a player or get a good loophole instead? And that I much prefer to do. I think a loophole has a couple advantages. Hopefully you're taking a, you know, non-playing rookie ultimately, like ideally, sorry, off field. But at worst, you know, you're taking a rookie off field for an underpriced or fallen premium. So you could bring in, you know, Webster's obviously not back in the team, but, you know, at that price, 330, the Darling type at 400. If you can bring in a underpriced loophole player, not only do you get to potentially loophole and cover, you know, a poor premium score, so you can cover Franklin or whoever the case may be, but in case of injury, you also have an extra premium to back yourself up. So it's sort of trying to kill two birds with one stone there. At this stage, I think that's a pretty similar, if not a better risk to take with limited rounds to sort of realize the benefit of a trade. So, yeah, I really like that one. If I could have loopholed and kept Franklin off field with a 52, and, you know, even Brandon Parfitt, he's 330K, you know, returned from injury. He scored 119 on the weekend. These are the risks that I think are a little bit more attractive to make rather than doing a luxury upgrade.
No, I really like that strategy, mate. And, you know, if I could have loopholed Paul Ahern onto the field, I certainly would have done so. You've got to use those trades strategically. There is still 4 weeks to go, and you know, if you run out of trades, say with 2 weeks to go, and you cop a big injury in that last week, then you could be in a bit of trouble. But so you definitely don't want to be double trading. But yeah, if you can get someone who you can loophole, that gives you just so many more options, particularly if it's a dual position player as well.
All right, next question is from at Dean Vasek from Twitter. He's traded in Luke Ryan a couple of weeks ago. He's been very average so far, but he's only got two trades left. Is it worth trading him or holding for now? And so I think, you know, this goes without bias previously. If you've only got two trades left, that's probably an injury trade. Even if it is Luke Ryan, who I know has been quite disappointing. He scored only the 47 on the weekend. 2 weeks ago, he did score 140. So fate changes pretty quickly. West Coast, Carlton, Geelong and Collingwood to come. You'd think in three of the next four games, there's a bit of ball going down into the back line and some opportunities for a defender to score. I'm very much in the hold camp in this situation. Dunny?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be holding at that point. Two trades left, too far out to be using one of those on that at the moment.
Next question is from Roger Brook, one of our patrons. He's asking what to do with Buddy. And if you don't have a lot of cash to, you know, and you're stuck with more side swap or downgrade options, what do you do? Faz?
That's a tough one. As I mentioned before, Buddy has sort of dropped in price so much that you really need some good coin in bank to be able to turn him into anyone decent. I guess the one option that springs to mind, probably a bit of a non-option really, is Toby McLean. So anybody who doesn't have him, I think you mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that his price has actually dropped quite a bit. He's down at 433 right now. So with Buddy positioned at 404, that's a possibility. But outside of that, I'm not sold on many of the options at that price point. The sort of more consistent guys that I might consider, sort of the Devon Smiths or even Tom McDonald's up at 450. So I'm finding it hard to find a good option for Buddy, and probably a big reason of why he's still in my team.
Sydney do have Collingwood, Melbourne, GWS and Hawthorn. So there is potential for him to continue to score poorly. So that's something to probably keep in mind as well.
Look, Buddy's an interesting one. I often like to have him on my team. I'm currently in the fortunate position where I don't, but he can score a 52 this week and he could just as easily come out and score 160 next week. He's that kind of guy. Having said that, he doesn't seem to be in that good a form at the moment. I'd probably be holding him at the moment. Like I said, he can come out of the blocks and kick seven goals and win a game for them and get a heap of points. You just don't know, you know, what he's going to do from week to week.
That's the type of silver line thinking that I need right now, Danny. I traded him in at 480. Ooh. So his top score for me has been 109 and has included such glorious scores as 52, 60 and 61. Yeah. So he's gone a fair way to shoot me in the foot there.
Yeah, people might have in recent weeks looked at, say, going from him to a Toby Green, you know, thinking, oh, Toby Green's back, he's going to star. Well, he hasn't really done much in the last few weeks either. You know, Christian Petrarca is another one that people might be looking at, averaging 93 in his last five games. He's only a little bit more expensive. Dare I put in a plug for a power play there and say Charlie Dixon, but no, I don't think even I'd go there. Like I said, he's just that kind of guy who, was it 2 years ago he pulled out something close to 200 in the final week and won a whole heap of people grand final. So you just don't know with Buddy.
How about Jesse Hogan? We got a question about him from Rowan Wells. A good part about Hogan is that he does have Gold Coast just this coming week and they just lost to Carlton. So it's a good time to be running into an opponent like that. Hogan has the tendency to beat up on poorer teams as well and then struggle in closer games. So that's something to look forward to. But his last three, Sydney, West Coast, GWS, so pretty tough draw there as well. Faz, you've got Hogan?
I don't. I'm just a Buddy owner of those two.
Not a sucker like me. Two key position forwards. What the hell was I thinking?
My inclination would be Hogan is the one to go just purely because of his price point. So Rowan has mentioned that he's got 58,000 in the bank. So with Hogan's current price, that gets you up to the $500,000 mark. So, you know, you've opened up quite a few options there. You've got, it might be just shy of Devon Smith, but, you know, you've got Tom McDonald, you've got Sam Menegola. I think there's worse picks than him. Having reconsidered my answer, I think that might be within reach from Buddy's price point as well to go up to McDonald or Menegola. So with that Gold Coast game in there, that's probably enough reason to take the more value options there with McDonald or Menegola and give Buddy the flick instead.
Yeah, I think you're taking a risk either way if you're trading them out. I think you'd want to have four trades before you'd be considering just trading these guys out. Otherwise, I'm still a pretty big fan of the loophole opportunity. If you've got, you know, a Miocek or whoever the case may be, and you can just take a guy who's really fallen from grace. Franklin and Hogan are prone to poor games, but you don't want to miss them on the big scores as well. So they are two players that you're more likely to want to loophole than others. So even though I'm tempted to trade both of them out, I probably won't at this stage. We've got another question here from Joel Mirandes to complete the trifecta for myself. This one came from Facebook, and he's asking about a replacement option for Michael Walters. He's been very disappointing considering Nathan Fife's been out of the side. Very, very disappointing. But with two scores in the 60s in his last three rounds, he's dropped a bit in price as well. So he's not that dissimilar to Franklin in price at 413,000. Dunny, do you have Walters?
Sadly, I am a Walters owner, but I'm not in the wonderful position that Joel is there with $130,000 in the bank. Look, I think he's got 130,000 plus three trades. So you'd say that's almost, you know, getting to the area of saying, well, that's equivalent of four trades because you've already got the downgrade done to get that 130K in the bank. If Joel really wants to trade, he can go to basically anyone except for Tom Hawkins at the moment with that sort of cash from Walters. So, you know, if you weren't a Devin Smith owner, I'd probably be jumping on there. But, you know, other than that, those other guys that you've already mentioned, such as Tom McDonald, Sam Menegola, or maybe even a Chad Wingard, if you wanted to go there, if you really wanted to trade out Walters at this stage. And sadly, I don't have enough cash to turn him into anyone decent, so I'm kind of stuck with him.
Yeah, look, I think fairly similar logic applies with me on Walters as to the last couple of players. Again, unfortunate that they've got a tough run home. They've got West Coast, Carlton, Geelong and Collingwood. So three of the last four, you know, right in it to try and contend for potentially even the top four spot for those clubs. So not particularly easy run home.
I have just seen a nice little option here, and it sort of goes back to your point from earlier where you said you couldn't get a Hearn on field.
Hmm.
I'm thinking maybe this week I just pivot and put a Hearn on field in the forward line and leave Walters on the bench in the midfield. She seems like a better option.
That is an option.
I like that plan, Fez.
It could be a bit of results-based thinking, but screw you, Walters.
At least you'll get the message.
That's right, yeah.
While we're at it, we did get a tweet from @grobson86 whether or not it's worth starting a Hearn over Buddy. Now, the thing in a Hearn's favour is, unlike Franklin, Hogan and Walters, is he's got, you know, all four opponents potentially not making the top eight or very likely not to make the top eight on the run home. So Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, Adelaide, who are basically out now, and St Kilda. So in terms of opposition, a Hearn, even though he's only hit the ton once, is certainly a decent enough loophole option to consider with those opponents. Now, next question here is from @EzraRobertson on Facebook. He's got three trades and he's wondering whether or not to use two trades on Witts to Grundy. Now, you know, we just talked about not wanting to go to just one trade left. So I'd suggest that Ezra probably does not do that. But if you had four trades, this is an example where, you know, going down to two trades and bringing Grundy in from Witts is probably better than, you know, trying to stuff around with a loophole opportunity. Grundy's a must-have, and Witts, even though he's done a fairly noble job, there's still a fair few points to be made from that upgrade. He's only averaging 90 for the season. So you could, you know, pick up 35 points for the next four rounds. That's actually 140 points, which is pretty good at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I think that's right. Four trades, and that would be something I would definitely be considering, but definitely I wouldn't want to be going down to one trade just to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree with that, guys. I think that the key with that trade is, unlike some of the other ones we've been talking about, going from Witts up to Grundy, you're going to pick up something in the order of 30 to 40 points a week as opposed to just that 10 points a week. It could be as much as 50 points a week. So you're definitely getting your value for your trade there as opposed to, you know, just the 10 by some of the other ones we were talking about earlier.
All right, next question is from Peter Holmes, one of our patrons. He's got two trades left and he's still holding on to Nathan Fife. And is it time for Fife to go? So Fife is unfortunately still listed as 2 weeks to go on his injury. And that means that if he gets back on time, he still misses potentially two of the next four games, which is definitely not ideal. Do you think that's enough to pull the trigger with two trades left, Tony?
Oh, geez, probably not. It depends what his cover is, and we don't unfortunately know what cover that he has. But, yeah, to go down to one trade, left with 3 weeks to go. I don't think I could do it. Obviously, he's been coping quite well so far without Fife because he's been out for, what, 2 or 3 weeks now? If he does come back in those last 2 weeks, you're going to have a really good point of difference at least. But I don't think I trade. What about you, Faz?
Definitely a tough one. There's, you know, you're leaving a lot of points off field if it's a Cripps or Mitchell, yeah. Clayton Oliver, whoever it is that you don't have, and you've got your, let's say it's a Hearn and he can go into average 80 for the rest of the season. That's still quite a difference. But given how much can go wrong in Supercoach just in 1 week, I think I would probably be a bit risk averse on this one, and I would hold on to the trade and hope that Fife can sort of make up a bit of the difference should he come back for the final two games.
I think you're just so behind everyone that already traded him out that you're really not incentivized to trade unless you have plenty of trades. And so I'd say 4, definitely 3, I'd probably still pull the trade trigger. But with 2 trades left, you're putting yourself at risk. So it doesn't really seem like a necessary trade. I agree with you both there. Next question is from Danny Pollard from Facebook. He's playing for the league and he's got a double chance in all his leagues, which is fantastic.
Wow.
He's thinking about upgrading Fritch and he has 3 trades left. I reckon if you have the double chance and you've got 3 trades left, you just hold on to it and hope Fritch has a good game and be able to use it more opportunistically down the road. Is that too simple a strategy, Dunny?
No, I think that's exactly what I would be doing, mate. You know, you don't know what's going to happen next week. You could cop 2 big injuries this week. And you've used your 1 trade to trade Fritch out to someone who could actually also be one of those injured guys, and all of a sudden you've got no trades left. But if you hold those trades and hold Fritch, if carnage does strike next week and, you know, everyone loses, you know, let's say it's, I don't want to be a prophecy here, but, you know, let's say Max Gawn and Brady Grundy both go down next week, everyone's got them, you're in the good position that you've got an extra trade left on all those people who have to trade him out as well. So, no, I definitely hold.
Faz, any thoughts on that?
I'd agree. I just I believe you mentioned it in last week's show, but you know that the week off in Supercoach finals is so much less relevant than a week off in actual AFL finals. It is such a game that just, you know, week to week scores can change so much. I wouldn't say put all your eggs in, you know, getting that bye for round 2 of the finals, because
even if you lose this week, you can as easily win next week.
Exactly, yeah. So hold the trades just get more and more valuable in league as opposed to going for the overall, where it's, you know, almost the opposite, where you don't want to be stuck with trades at the end of the season. But it's absolute gold if you can hold on to, you know, that one trade for the grand final. You can make a change and avoid a donut. That's going to be worth so much more than, you know, a marginal upgrade to Fritch this week.
Yeah, it's almost like you've earned yourself the freedom to not burn any this week. And then if you need to, treat the next 3 weeks as elimination finals back to back. But, you know, if you come out of this week with wins in all your league finals and you've got 3 trades left for 2 rounds.
In 2 weeks, yeah. That's such a good spot to be in.
On to a new segment for you two gents. I don't think you've participated in this one yet. Overrated, underrated. Mark and I have had a bit of fun with this segment. Basically, I'm just going to chuck out a name and you tell me from a fantasy point of view and from a current week point of view whether you reckon he's overrated or underrated in the AFL at the moment. Last week, I brought up Tom Hawkins. Mark said he was overrated and he went out and scored the 4th highest score in the comp against Brisbane. And there's still, I think, Frio and Gold Coast to come or something like that. We've got 2 more easy opponents. So something to look forward to if you have 570K, which is unlikely at this stage of the season. I'll start off with another Geelong player because we got this question from Gabriel King asking about Reece Stanley. Now, I reckon most Geelong supporters would be astonished that he's even an option. He's a ruck forward, but he's been fairly in form since coming back into the team after being dropped in round 8 and 9. If I can read out his last 6 scores, 149 against Richmond, 109 against Bulldogs, 90 against Sydney, 104 against Adelaide, 103 against Melbourne, and 111 against Brisbane. So that includes opponents like Martin, Gawn, Jacobs. There's some good rucks that he's actually been scoring pretty well against. Very unique at the moment, but it could just be a hot patch of form. Dunny?
Based on that little scoring run, I'd have to say he's probably underrated in the Supercoach world at the moment.
Yeah, well, having spent a fair bit of time watching footy with quite a few Geelong supporters, just in his general AFL sense, you'd have to say he's underrated because you guys are pretty vitriolic with your treatment of poor Reece. I had not considered him as a super coach option whatsoever. I think that Geelong have really been... Is it too big a call to say they've been looking for Ruckman since Brad Otten's retired?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I don't think you've had a decent one since then.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those situations where, you know, he's just shown up. He's not the best Ruckman in the comp by any stretch, but he's got some attributes around the ground. And, yeah, so I think overall you'd have to say he's underrated.
Next one, Zachy Merritt. This is an Essendon one for you, mate. I think I saw a stat somewhere. Since round 11, he's not scored below 110. That's pretty damn impressive. Still not in a lot of teams at the moment, but of course the tag risk remains. Overrated, underrated, mate?
Yeah, little Zachy is sort of definitely thrown under the radar this year. He had that early injury, and there was talk of bringing him in, but it might have been a bit too early in the season for anyone to actually pull the trigger. Somewhere around the appropriately rated, or you know, maybe even a bit overrated. I'm probably letting my supporter and just you know general AFL thinking about Zach come into play. I think he gets a lot of the pill, doesn't often kick it to a teammate. So for that reason, I'll say slightly overrated for young Zach.
I think I was actually leaning the other way. I think he's probably been a bit underrated this season. If you look at his first three games where he scored a 17, a 95, and a 53, since then he's only had three games under 100, you know, with an 89, a 72, and a 79. But all the others have been over 100, and all but three of those have been over 110. So he copped a fair bit when he didn't perform very early in the season, but you know, I wouldn't mind having him in my side at the moment as opposed to some of the other great players that I have.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's a bit underrated at the moment. How about Gary Ablett? Injury concerns have definitely scared people away, but scored pretty well in a couple of weeks in a row, 118, 134 from the last two. Overrated, underrated, Donny?
I think, once again, he's probably been a bit underrated because he missed all those games early on in the season. Everyone's like, oh, no, he's gone. But once again, yeah, you look at his last, since he's 86 in round 10, he's only had two scores under 100, and only one of those has been under 110. So probably underrated for me.
Fez?
Overrated for sure with Gaz. his days of being a super coacher have come and gone. I'm looking at my midfield now. I think that Patrick Dangerfield is probably the oldest player in my team, and even he's on borrowed time. It's time to bring on the age of the Paddy Cripps and Josh Kelly. So, yep, overrated for Gaz.
Faz, if we gave you one free trade you could use right now and you had to bring in Gary Ablett, you wouldn't look at doing it?
I don't know where I could fit him in the team, to be honest. Dustin Martin probably could make way, but, you know, I reckon Dusty's got a few big scores left in him. He's had a bit of a quiet season. So, I'll stick with what I've got. Thanks, Danny.
How about Jack Darling at 406,000? Had that game where he scored 14 and then went off injured. And then his return games have been 68, 93, and 62. Overrated, underrated, Dunny?
I'm going to say he's probably been overrated. He's had some really good games, but for me, I don't think I've ever considered bringing him into my side. Faz, what do you reckon, mate?
He's sitting about the appropriately rated level, I think. He doesn't seem to be in too many teams. I think he's a decent smoky option if you need a cheap player. But I think at one point during the year, he sort of got up into the overrated status after he had a pretty insane run there where he went 112, 132, 125, 181 and hasn't hit the ton since then. So I think people's ratings of him have dropped to the point where he's now sitting at the appropriately rated level.
I reckon for any league coaches, he's probably slightly underrated considering week one of finals, he's got Frio, and week four, he's got Brisbane. But apart from that, probably pretty fairly rated.
It's a first, right? They've got three different ratings in the one player.
All right, a quick recap of the rookies. If anyone's looking for a downgrade and you've got plenty of trades to generate cash for an upgrade, Jared Leanett, how do you pronounce that, Dunny, as a Port supporter?
I would have gone with Leanett, but hey, I'll take either because I'm not really sure myself.
Okay, yep. He's 124,000, scored 92 on debut, 83 to back that up. He's, I think, pretty much the only rookie on the bubble this week. And then there's another Port Adelaide player here who made his debut, available as a defensive midfielder, so a DPP player, probably of relevance if you have Angus Brayshaw or somebody that you can swing in with. Scored 48 on debut. We've got Jordan Dawson, 124,000, a mid-forward DPP that made his debut on the weekend for Sydney, scoring 53. And Liam Baker, if you're looking for an absolute bottom-priced option, he's priced at 104,000, debuted for Richmond, scoring a 45. Quick snap of the Port Adelaide boys. Dunny, what do you reckon about either of those two?
Look, if I was looking to bring someone in and I had, you know, something like eight trades left, then, yeah, I'd probably look at Lynott. I think he's probably the only one. I've liked what I've seen of him so far. Saw him obviously in flesh for his first game, which was at home. I was impressed with what I saw. I think you never know with these days, but I think, you know, he's done enough to hold his spot in that side. Personally, I'd have him playing over Jasper Pittard at the moment anyway. Kane Farrell. Yeah, I don't know that he'll keep his spot. He's probably a little bit more fringe than what line it is. So, yeah, look, at 123,000, if you've got heaps of trades left, then, yeah, he'd be one I'd go for.
I don't think there's brilliant sort of trade-in options regardless. You're more looking for a downgrade option more than anything else, and that's why I think the DPP is actually more useful often than whether or not these blokes will actually play. All right, let's finish things up with a captain's corner. Faz, who are you considering for the week, mate?
I think with his recent run of form, Tom Mitchell definitely deserves first look in. He's playing Essendon, a big clash on Saturday afternoon. So you'll only have Geelong and Richmond out of the way by that point. So I think Tom Mitchell with the V, Essendon don't tag a lot either. So that's a good option there. And I think you parlay that into one of the two ruckmen. Pick your poison between Gawn or Grundy. It'll have to be Gawn for me because I don't have Grundy, and I believe I've got Tim Smith still sitting in my forward bench as the loophole option playing on Sunday for Melbourne. I'd say a lot of teams seem to have him. He was a very popular pickup before he went off into the wilderness. So that'd be my pick is Mitchell into one of the ruckmen.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. I think that's where I'll be heading. Mitchell will definitely have the VC for me, and I'll probably be putting that into Gawn against Gold Coast on the Sunday. Other ones that if people want to go something a little bit unique, maybe you could consider someone like Paddy Cripps against the Giants maybe, or Jack McRae. He'll probably cop a tag from St Kilda, so he could be a little bit riskier, but would once again be a pretty unique option. But it's really hard to look past Mitchell into either Grundy or Gawn for me as well.
Yeah, I think Gawn as a captaincy backup is probably a clear favourite for me playing Gold Coast. So you'd want something very high scoring to be able to potentially unseat taking Gawn as the captaincy option. So, pretty much echo it exactly. Mitchell or Grundy, I think more likely to go with Grundy. All right, that wraps up this week's show, gents. Thanks very much for another episode. We've only got 3 weeks left to go. The end is very much in sight. Dunny, any thoughts to leave our listeners with, mate?
I guess if you've got the double chance locked away in your leagues, don't go wasting your trades this week. Save them for when you really need them.
Faz?
I've been trying to avoid the excitement this whole season, but it's finally happened with a win against Sydney last week. I'm all eyes on the finals now. I know a lot of things have to go in Essendon's favour, but if everyone can get out their voodoo dolls and start, just trying to wish some bad luck on, you know, the North Melbournes and Hawthorns of the world to let Essendon sneak in, that would be fantastic.
You're not going to pop over for round 23, mate? Watch the Bombers and the Power on the Friday night?
I thought I might, but Marcus did remind me on the weekend that we do play Richmond the week before, so if I book my tickets now, it could end up being a dead rubber already by the time I get there, and that would be pretty depressing, having flown all the way. So I think I'll be watching that one on the telly.
Yeah, I think we all got big weekends this weekend. Geelong's got Richmond. If we lose this, we're no top four, hoping we could still slip from the top eight. Essendon's basically in a knockout win situation. Port playing Adelaide, who are truly in a knockout situation. So tight games all around. All right, gents, good luck for the upcoming weekend and to our Supercoach community. Thank you for those of you who are still listening into round 20 and to our Patreon supporters for their continued support. And with that, we will catch you all next week. See ya.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.